Do you want to build your brand by being a guest on industry-leading podcasts? If you're a business leader, an author, or a speaker, my guess is that you do. Picture this. You, a dynamic executive easily connecting with engaged audiences, turbocharging your top-of-funnel marketing, and creating a treasure trove of content with every episode. Podcasting is a game changer that you've been waiting for. And PodcastAlly.com is your VIP ticket to podcast PR success. Say goodbye to the ordinary and hello to the extraordinary exposure. Let the Podcast Ally team connect you with the best-in-class podcast for you to be a guest on. Head over to PodcastAlly.com and use the promo code DT for a 10% discount on Podcast Ally services. That's PodcastAlly.com, promo code DT. Welcome to High Octane Leadership with Donald Thompson. This season, we're diving deeper with more solo episodes, where I'll share the experiences that have led to recognition by EY, Forbes, Fast Company, and others. Not as a boast, but as milestones on my entrepreneurial path. From growing multi-million dollar firms to successful business exits and building high performance teams with a global perspective. I'll reveal the insights and strategies from my journey and share them with you so that we can win together. Alongside these solo episodes, we'll have industry visionaries and thought leaders, and we'll explore effective leadership. Ready to empower your leadership journey with real success stories? Let's embark on this transformational journey together. Hello, and welcome to another edition of High Octane Leadership with Donald Thompson. And today, we're going to talk about the phrase managing up. And so the title of today's episode is Managing Up, the Insider's Guide to Influencing Your Boss and Key Stakeholders. All of us that are working with others in a corporate setting, our success, our ability to accelerate our ideas, our ability to have wellness at work has a lot to do with our immediate manager and our key stakeholders in our environment. And our ability to navigate those relationships is a skill, quite frankly, that we all need to continue to hone. Because if we don't think about it proactively, then we're always in a reaction mode. And then we're using phrases like, man, my boss is toxic, my coworkers don't really get me, right? Is this the place for me? All of these things may or may not be true, but they're certainly reactionary statements. And so today we're going to talk about how to go on offense, how to be proactive, if you will, in terms of managing the key relationships critically with your boss, your immediate supervisor, and then the other stakeholders that you work with. So when we're navigating the corporate landscape, it's more than just doing our job. It's more than just meeting deadlines. It is how do we interact with leaders and leadership, our peers and colleagues, so that all of our actions are as effective and efficient as possible. So there's three key pillars that we're going to talk about today. And one is how do we align our individual efforts, right, with the goals of our manager and the goals of the corporation? And again, that's how you gain influence. We'll talk about that deeper. We want to leverage leadership access in smaller firms. So if you're in a smaller business, you usually have access to all of the key folks there, but how do you use it? How do you leverage it? And then we really want to, in the third phase, is understanding the deeper dynamics of your organization. Most people, when they're looking at their relationship with their manager, when they're looking at their relationship with their leadership team, because they don't think in terms of the holistic business context, are missing a lot in terms of priority, in terms of how to manage your personal purpose within a larger organization, and then how do you get on that pathway to results? Today's corporate environment is fast-paced and really nobody's slowing down to teach us some of the nuances. And so what I want to do is just give you some points in perspective, right, on how we can think about better relationships, managing up, in particular that relationship with your boss, with your management. And here are a couple things that I've learned along the way. And I've learned this both through personal experience, through coaching and working with executives, and most recently, I've been spending a lot of time with executive leadership teams, and not so much as individuals, but really working on the chemistry and the collaboration, right? And the effective outcomes of leadership teams working together, right? Where there's a varied degree of skills, varied degree of perspectives and personalities. And how do you intertwine those things to move an organization and in particular, a leadership team together? So number one, let's talk about managing your boss, managing your executive leadership team. There's a lot of information about the priorities and focus areas, especially in larger companies, if you're willing to listen and do your homework. A lot of times we have our relationships with others based on our perspective towards them, our view of what they said and how it lands with us. Part of the homework is to engage, for example, if you're working for a publicly traded company, right? Listen to the last quarter's earnings calls, where your executives are getting questions from industry analysts, because you'll get to hear what's important, what's working in the business, what are challenges in the business, and also what is important in your industry. So what are economic indicators of the growth or the headwinds or the challenges of your particular space? Also pay attention to what's in the news on your corporate website, new acquisitions, new critical hires, new programs, new sponsorships. All of these things give you a deeper understanding of what is driving the behavior, attention span, and focus of the leaders that you're trying to influence. And what you'll view is then you can ask questions about your role, your job, in the context of the corporation's goals. So if you know, for example, that your company is going through a series of layoffs, that they're going through cost-cutting initiatives, now, all of a sudden, when you're talking to your leadership and management and you have a new idea, you need to incorporate that your idea increases better efficiency, better productivity, low cost, high impact. It will allow you to speak in the language of the C-suite without having been in all of those meetings or know all of these individuals personally, because you're now understanding the dynamics that they're dealing with and the charter that's being set from the CEO, which typically is their boss. The other thing that you can do is most people deliver more statements before they ask high quality questions. And so one of the things in terms of managing up, building better relationships with the C-suite, is when you have that opportunity to spend time with your business leaders, your department heads, different things like that, ask them questions very simply. What's working within the organization? What are some areas and opportunities that we have to work through or overcome? And how can my role in the corporation and my skills be a benefit to achieving those goals? Now, all of a sudden, you're starting to have a dialogue that is not simply about you, I need more money. You, I need more recognition. You, I need more time with management. All these things may be true. I'm telling you how to get them. And you get them by expanding the conversation about the company, your manager, your management, and then asking their opinion of how your role and skills can be included, productive, aligned with meeting those external objectives. And so now you're starting to then get into conversations, a lay of the land, if you will, about what makes you valuable, what allows your leader to see a future and future growth in you as an individual, but within the goal and within the team. There's three pillars when you are dealing in a leadership conversation. There's a people perspective. There is a product perspective, and that's product or service, depending on what business your folks are in. And then there's a promise perspective. Let me work backwards. The promise perspective is what commitments has the organization already aligned with? So if you look at the mission, vision, values of the organization, it usually will talk about the areas that the company wants to grow in strategically. If there is a strategic plan on your website, if there is information and notes from your last town hall meeting, independent of size, whether you're an enterprise public company or a small company, people are communicating the vision of the business to the team. The difference is just the setting, right? Big companies will have quarterly meetings. Smaller companies will have town hall meetings. CEO will come on and talk about the business, talk about the goals. Most team members don't listen holistically about the whole business. They're only listening to the parts of the mission that apply to them. That makes you weaker in dialogue with leaders to move them ahead, because leaders have to think about the whole business. And so what I recommend when you're thinking about the promise, make sure you understand the promises that the company has already made, key initiatives, key focus areas, key tenets of how they want to treat people. Then you want to look at the products and services that your organization is delivering and how well are those things doing in the market? What new innovations are coming and upcoming? And then the people, what types of people, what behaviors of those people are being rewarded, promoted, recognized? And you can use these three elements to get a very clear bead on whether or not you're working on things that are strategic and critical to the ongoing growth of the business. And then here's the thing, and a cheat code, if you will. When I have, and I'll use an example of my role, my company was just acquired. And so now I report to the CEO, his name is Alan, of Workplace Options, which is a $100 million employee wellness organization. Very proud to be a part of the Workplace Options team. So in my one-on-ones with my new leader, I will take 25, 30 minutes, if we have a 30-minute short meeting, to go through the bullet items that we both agreed pre-meeting. So getting Alan the information he needs, topics that are top of mind to him, whether it's budget, whether it's revenue growth, personnel, we line those out. But I try to cover those items pretty succinctly. And then the last 5 minutes of the meeting, I'll ask him, what is the key thing that's top of mind that in my role, my skills, I can be helpful and aligned with you and be supportive? And he'll share a couple of things that might be off script of the agenda that I wouldn't have had access to his information, insight, and knowledge if I didn't create space to ask questions. A lot of times what we do when we finally get the time and attention of our executives is we've got these PowerPoints, we've got this agenda, and we want to cover off on every single thing that we thought of versus creating space to ask thoughtful questions and learn. Thoughtful questions on what your leadership is reading or what they may recommend that you read. Who in the organization do they think you should develop a better relationship and bond with? What problems are they having that you can help them solve? Now, I don't ask them all at once, but those are the types of questions that I ask when I've got 5 minutes left in a meeting and I want to be in that learning mode, that connection mode, that relationship building mode. The other thing that is really important when you're looking at managing up is really understanding the personality and the communication preference of your leaders. Some folks are very, very verbal, right? So if you send them a long email, they're not going to read it. 7-page PowerPoint. They really are conversational in how they operate with individuals and folks. You then have people that are very analytical and want to be very prepared for every conversation. When I'm working with those types of leaders, I'm very detailed in the bullet points of the agenda, the pre-reading that I want them to take a look at before we meet. The third grouping of executives are very, very big picture. And that is good, and that is also a tad challenging because they can be big picture visionary, but you as a team member often need help, support, guidance, review of the actual work that you're trying to do, the actual contract you're trying to negotiate, the actual people that you're trying to recruit. And so you have to invite them into your world of detail. Not all in the same meeting, but you can describe, here are the things in the agenda, but here's one thing I'm struggling with that I really would like your input, your guidance, and your support. And you have to pull them into the detail of what you're doing. It's not that they can't do it typically. It's that they're not used to doing it because it's outside of style for them. The title of this episode is Managing Up, right? Influence. Well, I'm influenced as a CEO. I'm influenced as an investor. I'm influenced as an advisor of people that follow up and follow through on the last things we've discussed that are organized to the point to where we're not covering the same ground. They are thoughtful enough to have recapped our previous meeting, thoughtful enough to give me feedback and information on projects and proposals that they know that I'm interested in. And if they're not sure of my specific areas of interest, they don't assume, they ask. influence is not a bad thing. Influence just means you're listened to. And another thing that's important is high performers have different rules than everyone else in the organization. So I always want to know with my board, with my leader, with my colleagues, what are the characteristics? What are the behaviors? What are the deliverables for them to consider someone a high performing executive, a high performing emerging leader? And I want to make sure that I'm doing that over and above, because the perception of somebody that delivers on their commitments, that is a team player, that is always up to help overcome and work through the next challenge, those are people that are listened to when you have a request, when you have a concern, or when you have a new idea. And so a lot about managing up, managing your teammates, has to do with having a high degree of performance orientation in how you think about business in general. Another thing when we look at not so much managing up with your leader, but managing across with your peers, is if you only think about marketing because marketing is your silo, but you never spend time with sales professionals or the product delivery team, it's hard to be a great marketer, and I'm just using this as an example, if you don't intimately know how your marketing content, strategies, infrastructure are being used by your other team members. So I think it's important, and I'm using marketing as an example, that you spend time not just with the sales leader, but you as a marketing leader spend time with sales professionals that are the tip of the spear with clients. What tools that's provided by marketing do they actually use? You may think it's the website, and come to find out that the most important thing that marketing has done is a series of podcast industry briefings that the sales professionals are forwarding to their key clients. Marketing, we know a lot about metrics of our external audiences, but we don't often know enough about how our internal stakeholders are using what we deliver. And so in order to influence your peers, you have to understand the job of your peers and how your work is being helpful, hurtful, or doesn't make any difference to them. And that's going to help you guide a more powerful, prosperous relationship with them. Basically fostering knowledge sharing and true collaboration. When I think about the different teams I've been a part of, the different corporate environments that I've worked in, there's always folks that don't want to collaborate. So how do you deal with that prima donna superstar in sales, or that guru engineering manager that speaks in technology alphabet soup all the time? And one of the things that I've found is that people are attracted to those that are curious and interested about what they do. So with deeply technical folks, and I'll give a book recommendation that I received and recently reread. And the name of the book is called Leading Geeks. And the gentleman that recommended it to me is Keith Collins, who's the former CTO of SAS, one of the most successful technology organizations in the world. And one of the premises of this book, Leading Geeks, is it talks about how knowledge workers think about management, about process, about scale, about risk. And it gives you a glimpse in the mind of deeply technical leaders, deeply technical individual performers. So if I am working with a high-octane engineering manager, one of the things I learned in this book is to get a deep understanding of what they do, how it works, and what matters to them. And that comes through questions. That comes through a cup of coffee with Joanna, for example. Joanna, it's pretty clear I'm not as deeply technical as you and many of the members on your team. If you were to explain it like you would to a middle schooler, what would be the key elements of the new AI-driven technology model that we're building? And then Joanne would number one, be thankful for the question. Number two, break it down simply for me to where now we're engaged in a technical conversation, but we're doing so in a manner that we can both contribute to the collaborative dialogue. And then once I get an understanding of the key tenets of a new technology they're working on, again, I'm just using the voice of the marketer for a minute, I can say, what are some of the key ways that you think we should be telling that story to a technical audience? Now, all of a sudden, we're learning and collaborating together, but I, as the executive that's wanting to have more influence with my peers, bring my notebook, my humility, and my curiosity. And that is going to do more for relationships with peers than anything else. Because really talented people enjoy sharing why they're smart. Talented people enjoy sharing the next cool thing that they're working on. And they also have a deep respect for people that care enough to try to understand what they're doing and why it matters and why the impact. And so when we think about managing up, when we think about managing across and really becoming a go-to resource for collaboration within our teams, we have to come to some of our conversations other-centered. And because we think about others on the team first, we then get to know the communication styles, personality styles, prioritization of, and now we can weave the things that we need to get done and accomplished more effectively, more conversationally, more collaboratively. I try very hard to remove myself from the one-upmanship that happens a lot of times on teams, the chase for the favor of the boss versus the personal brand that I want to share with you all that I think is important for us to develop is a phrase simply stated, how can I be helpful to my engineering counterpart? How can I be helpful to my HR counterpart? How can I be helpful to my CEO as they're preparing for their next upcoming board meeting? How can I be helpful for our legal team? And if you start to think about your relationships with others using the phrase of how can I be helpful and not guess, engage your teammates and ask them, engage your manager and ask them and jot those things down. And of the five things they say, you might be interested in two, capable of two or three. You're not going to be able to address all five things they may say in a conversation. You then can whittle it down and say to your CEO, your manager, the VP you report to, you know, of the things we talked about four or five things where you thought I could be helpful. What are the top two? Because I really want to take some time, put some effort and energy behind really stepping up in this way, because I want to be helpful to what you're trying to accomplish. People give the most information and insight and attention to people they feel connected to. And so instead of being the person that says, I think our teams operate in silos, be the person on the team that's breaking them down. It's easy to identify communication and collaboration challenges within a team. The rock stars of any organization are the folks that dial in and help leaders focus on fixing them. The final thought that I would share with you as I wind down on managing up and creating more influence with your management and other key stakeholders is a very simple kind of way to think about goal achievement. Number one, you want to write down what it is that you want. What do you want to get done? And then you want to write down who can help you get what you want. Then you want to write down, when do you want it? And then what are you willing to do to get it? And when you think about those parameters integrated with ever-increasing, ever-improving, more thoughtful relationships with your boss, your manager, and your peers, and then precisely knowing what you're trying to accomplish and what you want, when do you want it, who can help you, and what are you willing to do to get it? And now all of a sudden, that collaboration effort, that teamwork effort, you're going to get people asking you, Don, how can I be helpful to you? Jessica, how can I be helpful to you? Because you've created that collaborative appetite in all of your different relationships. I think being a competitive learner coming to the table with your notebook, with curiosity, with humility, is one of the key things that we all need to do to manage those around us. And another way to phrase it, right, is a way you can lead without necessarily having the title or the authority, but being an effective executive in interpersonal relationships. And being effective means you have to be other-centered. And so I appreciate, as always, you all taking time, effort, and energy to listen to the thoughts that have been developed over a 30-year career. I've made a lot of mistakes, done a few things that have worked out pretty good. And when I jumble all of that up together, it allows me to really share succinctly and clearly some things that I wish I had learned sooner in my career and in my organization, and that I happily share with you all. Thank you for joining us on High Octane Leadership with Donald Thompson. Today's episode is a step in our collective journey towards leadership excellence. Remember, every story we share and every insight we gain is a piece in the puzzle of our leadership journey. For more insight and detail, hit the subscribe button so that we can stay connected. For deeper information and more episodes, go to donaldthompson.com. Continue to lead with vision and purpose, and until we meet again, embrace your role as a high-octane leader in the ever-evolving world of business.